This is Engineer Eric from the Jimmy Dolan Show, and you're listening to part two of our October 28th podcast.
Say hello.
What?
Show just went off the air. So, but I win in a less governmental society, you would find that nobody rats out anybody
else.
Got
some for you, Eric.
Thanks, Gino.
Yeah. But it's going on. It's going towards the ID. The whole society is going towards the universal ID, fingerprinting, and so forth. And I've noticed here another article. This is in the United Kingdom, in this particular little dorky town in the United Kingdom. It's fingerprint before you drink.
Oh yeah,
I saw that. I can't believe that's in England. My God, I mean they drink like when they wake up.
Well. It's more like in Ireland they do that a lot. In England, they have a lot of pubs and everything. But they've cut down a lot in England.
Bernie Wright is about this one.
Yeah, they need to find out more about that because I know that when I was up.
What is the deal now?
Apparently, every drinker must supply a thumbprint, name, address, and date of birth. Can you imagine? Uh-huh. Like nobody would lie about that,
right?
Before being allowed to enter into the 7 licensed premises in town. Now you can tell this town must be about the size of this room.
Those are the only seven.
I mean, if there's seven places to drink, you got to figure that the town is about 40 by 60 feet. And so, anyway, they've seen a 23.5% percent in drop in alcohol-related violent crimes inside the licensed premises. And, of course, if a drinker's barred from one pub, they're barred from all. Mm. The girl at the Sheffield City Council told Silicon.com, that they would need, in order to implement a complete fingerprint recognition thing, they'd have to do some technology that they don't have available in that town. Because I guess they have a computer in that town. And she added, when and if ID cards come out, then we might be able to do it. And I'm thinking, it's not if, it's when.
When.
And that's what the people are looking for.
It's not if they'll be faked, it's when they'll be faked.
Oh, right. Boy, I'll tell you. Well,
it's not if he'll be making the money off of providing the fake IDs, it's who will be making the money.
Let me just think if I was looking at the thing here. Yes, we're going to get onto this about counterfeiting here later on in the show. I can throw this away.
Got about another hour to go.
I'm done. No.
Jimmy's beat up.
No. Now we're going to move on now. The next thing we're going to do is the education update. One of my favorites.
Ah, yes.
Well, here in Florida, just to set the stage here a little bit, we've got two people running for governor, Charlie Crist, who used to be education. When we had an education cabinet position, he was the education commissioner. He's now running for governor. Here in Florida, they have...
And Jeb.
Jeb is the governor.
Right.
Here in Florida, we've got a special, I forget what it's called. Of course, the national program is the No Child Left Behind.
Right.
We have a local program here called A-plus Schools or First Ahead, or I forget what it's, Getting Ahead, or we...
Head Start?
The Head Start is national.
Okay.
That's preschool.
Right.
The indoctrination starts early. we've got something here to measure...
Here's your tattoo.
Boy, don't laugh. The trend here is that we have something called the FCAT, which is Florida Comprehensive...
Florida Communistic Assessment Test.
That's it, exactly. And that particular test tells the kid at the third grade and eighth and tenth grades, I think, if they can move on. And it also is a grade for the school to determine if the school gets any money. And the way it works here is that if the school is a total unmitigated failure, they get a ton of money for about a year or two to make sure that they're not failures anymore. And after that, they get no money if they fail to use that money to bring themselves up. They always do, of course. The schools that are doing super well don't get a whole lot of extra money. They're expected to continue on. Kids that fail the FCAT are retained, as they say. They don't go ahead. There's a lot of argument, plus and minus, on this particular program. This, of course, is nationwide. Florida is not the only state that has a program similar to this. There are other states that do the same thing. Well, what happens is, think about it for a second, the market, again, rears its ugly head. Unintended consequences abound. You find that teachers, because it's in their self-interest to get money, and it's in their self-interest to make sure that the kids pass these tests. So what do they teach? They teach to the test.
That's exactly right. What they do.
And the kids are taught the answers. Mm-hmm. Basically, they are coached for the test.
Mm-hmm.
So, oh, duh, they get great grades on the test a lot of times, and you'll find that a school that was a failure suddenly goes from F to A in 1 year. How could that happen?
They're geniuses.
They're geniuses. Suddenly, they just found out they're geniuses. Well, they continually game the system. And one of the ways they game the system is if they spot a kid that's not going to do well, they put them in a special class called "We're Not Taking the Test" class.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it's not called that. They call it at risk, or they call it, well, they just call it special, exceptional. These are exceptional children.
Oh.
They're exceptional. Mm. They're exceptionally bad is what they are. Or they shut them off to a school. We have several here in this county, for instance, that are not required to partake totally in the FCATs because these kids are, well, they're exceptional.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't get tested. Well, surprise, surprise, these are not the geniuses. These are the opposite end of the scale. They're one or two standard deviations on the other end. They have the Republican Charlie Crist. Interestingly enough, he wants to be the education governor. Jeb Bush did too. That was one of the reasons they passed. And I forget what it's called here, but it had to do with the FCAT. But Charlie Crist was the guy who went down to Orlando about when he was education commissioner before they phased that particular thing out. He went down to Orlando and there were about 30 kids that were not going to graduate from this school because they had flunked. They hadn't taken the tests. They hadn't passed the necessary courses. They got F in reading, writing, arithmetic, or whatever it was. I mean, they simply didn't make it out of school.
Shit happens.
And that's right. So the parents went down and complained because their kids weren't going to be able to walk across the stage and graduate. They're going to get a certificate of attendance, I guess, or something like that, in order to be able to walk across. Paper looks the same from the outside. On the inside, it says, ha, 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 ha.
Hey, you walk across the stage.
That's right. Anyway, the parents were all up in arms, and this is a classic case of a small vocal minority getting their way. They damn near rioted at the school. They went down there, and they were screaming and hollering at the school board, said, you can't do this to my kid. It was a little louder than that, I can tell you. They showed it on TV. They showed it on TV. Okay. Now, unfortunately, you can't hear the bubbling tar or the feathers in the background, but that's what was there.
Right,
and the pitch and the lighted torches and the pitchforks. You can't hear that, but that was there. So Charlie Crist comes down as education commissioner and waves his hand like as the Pope blesses the people in St. Peter's Square. He waves his hand and said, thou shalt graduate. You are now, and handed
Charlie
it.
Crist did that?
He did it.
All by himself?
All by himself.
Man.
Hard to believe.
Wow.
And awarded them completion. Yes, you did.
Doctorate of MIT or whatever.
You be a high school graduate now.
Wow.
That's right. And he did it. And so they got their diplomas.
Man, that's the best.
So anyway, he's going to be governor.
Wow. Well, so, obviously with talent like that.
It's so neat that you can do that. No pills, nothing involved. Just wave your hand.
No homework.
You're smart. You graduate. Here's your diploma.
Right. You can talk on your cell phone all day long.
Well, I don't know about that. You have to counteract that with the blue pill.
Right.
So, anyway, the opponents, of course, are saying that the schools have been transformed into dreary test-taking factories, as if the school isn't dreary anyway. Before they were dreary non-test-taking factories, and now they're dreary test-taking.
Oh, it's horrible there.
Anyway, the advocates, obviously, say that under the pressure of exams, students in Florida, Texas, and elsewhere have shown significant improvements. Well, improvements in what? In taking tests, I guess,
right.
If that's the goal. In Florida, as many as 14%, that is to say 28,000 public school third graders in some years have been held back, most for failing to make adequate scores on the reading tests. One person says, we have third grade children who have been retained so many times that they're wearing brassieres in third grade.
Kinky.
Well, I do remember this. When I was in the seventh grade, I'll never forget this. I was in the seventh grade.
May have been in the pencil.
That's right. And they brought this girl in who was going to be in our class, and she was like 20. And you can imagine me and all the other guys would look at this and say, whoa, we have died and gone to heaven. This girl is going to... I mean, she was built. She was stacked and everything. And so, but anyway, she didn't last long. I guess for some reason.
Not with all you guys groping on
her. Oh, my God. Well, we wish. We didn't know groping then.
And when seventh grade?
No, we didn't. No, this, you have to understand. No, this is.
Seventh grade in the 30s. Yeah,
that's right. It was totally different. Let me tell you, everybody.
The 30s.
We were. No, this is seventh grade. This is an Ozzie and Harriet time, believe me.
I know. Ozzie was our years, time. Man. You're getting confused.
Ozzie and Harriet?
No, Ozzy Osbourne.
Oh.
No, Ozzy and Harriet.
Hello. Oh, who's that?
Exactly. I rest my case. No, Ozzy and Harriet. This was the 50s TV show. Where
Ozzy had a hair hat, right? Something like that?
No.
All right, so go ahead. So next thing.
So anyway, so it says, when parents are dealing with children vomiting in the morning and test other signs of stress, they tend to be motivated at the voting booth. One of the things that's interesting about this particular article, it says, political backlash builds over high stakes testing. This is my education update. One of the things that you find out about from this article is that everybody is... They're talking about the voting that goes on. The parents, the way they have to either do this or not do this with for their kids is to go to the voting booth. Hello, why don't you go to the school? Why don't you get to the teacher? Why don't you talk? Why don't you get your hands around the principal's throat? Because you can't. Because the school board has dictatorial. They're immune. Exactly right. The
diplomatic immunity.
They have this. I have watched Channel 12 here, and I've watched our school board in action. And parents come down, and the parents are. Technically illiterate, but they know what they want. They're going in there. They understand that their kids are not getting education. They understand the kids can't read. They maybe read them at home, read it to them at home, but they understand that the school is a disaster area. It's broken. It's not teaching there. They understand that much. And yet the solution is, according to this article, is to go to the voting booth and supposedly vote these people out. And we had one of our school board members here, arrogant, and personal friend of mine, personally, super nice guy, but arrogant, said, look, the reason we're staying in office, we must be doing a good job because they keep voting us back in. Hello, that has nothing to do with it. The simple fact is that no more than on a lot of these elections, when you have the school board come up, it's an off month election. It's not the November. Okay. It's like in May or something like that when the term expires. And they're staggered terms. So that the school board is not turned over totally at the same time. And at that time, maybe 20 or 25% of the electorate will show up, which means that only about 11 or 12 or 13% can mean that you're retained. Well, that is hardly what I call a ringing endorsement. And yet this fellow, this particular school board member said, yeah, that's a mandate. That's, yeah, we're doing it. Obviously, we're doing a spectacular job. Well, they're not. And the... simple fact is that even the parents realize that the voting booth is not working for them. The system is broken. Here in Lateral County, in any rate, the educational system is broken. I was reading an article about...
It's unfixable.
It's unfixable. Mm-hmm. And there was somebody who wrote in and said and called it a failing educational system. And I thought to myself, boy, you're...
It's beyond failed.
It's beyond failed.
And they have to just give up.
And I don't, to be honest with you, I don't know how they're going to do it. They are in denial. They need a 12-step program.
Right.
There's no question that these people are in total denial.
That's what you should do, Jimmy. You should write a 12-step denial program for them. And
well, denial is the first in the
12-step program.
In the 12-step program, you do understand that in the 12-step program, acceptance is the first step. You have to accept that there's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys don't accept. They accept sort of there's a problem, but they think, just like an alcoholic, they think they can, well, I won't drink today. Mm-hmm. And they don't understand. It is so parallel to a 12-step program.
Mm-hmm.
They should have, I guess...
They should go to rehab.
School Boarders Anonymous or something like that. I would guess that would be...
School Boarders Anonymous.
I would think that might be...
Right next to Politicians Anonymous.
No, I'm serious. These people, they need to explain. They need to go there and confess their sins and realize what they've done wrong. SBA. It's School Board of Lateral County. No. It's SBA School Board Anonymous. Hey, well, I don't know. I thought I was doing the right thing. And let me tell you my experience. Hi, my name's Bob, and I'm a school board.
I'm an ex-principal.
That's right. I'm an ex-principal. Let me tell you, it would be. So to continue on, another article. This comes up the same kind of thing, and this is exactly the same sort of thing. In the title of this Washington Post, in a quest for speed, books are lost on children.
Yeah, I saw the headline, but I didn't get the point. What's the
point is that, and this has to do, we've done this here in Florida. We had a thing here.
Speed reading, you mean?
Well, yes. Well, they had, no, it, not exactly. Not exactly. You would think that would be it. Did you ever take a comprehensive reading test, a comprehension test in reading?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, and how did it read? You read the paragraph and you answer the questions.
Yeah.
Okay, now how did they tell you to take that? Did they give you any hints?
Get your answer just with your Bolognese test.
Exactly.
Yeah. No. But did they ever tell you how to take that particular thing? What you do is you read the questions first, and then you speed through and read for the answers.
Right.
But in a good test, of course, in a regular class, when I was growing up, you read the book, and then you don't even know what the questions are going to be, and they give you the questions at the end to see if you understood what was going on. In here, they're handing the book to the kid and saying, read the book, and at the end, they don't give him a test. They say, did you read the book? They say, yeah. And they ask him just the simplest questions, and they found out, well, they turned all the pages, and they looked at all the words, but they didn't understand what's going on.
Wow.
What was
the book made of?
That's about it. Well, there are several things.
Over 25 pounds.
Yeah, exactly. Well, do you remember when they would give you
ink.
When they gave you a reading list, let me ask you, how did you select what books to read?
Any ones that had fold-outs in them.
Yeah, that's
the
one.
The pop-ups.
Well, I was thinking of more of the fold-outs.
Right. Well, what if... Uh-oh.
Any ones that we weren't supposed to read.
And we're back. Okay, it says we dropped off the air and came back. Okay, we're back. Whatever, feed, whatever.
Interesting. Maybe he's still
school
got
improvement
the,
and educational accountability. Does that sound right?
It sounds exactly right. But let me tell you two things. First of all, just recently we had here in Florida, they called it a million minutes of reading. And what they did is they got kids all over in school, all over, a whole bunch of schools all over the state. And they sat them down, and I guess for an hour or something, they read the requisite number. They had to do the math. I guess 100,000 kids read for 10 minutes each or however that, whatever comes out to 100 minutes each. 100,000 kids, no, a million kids. How many kids? Let's see, in Florida.
There's 2 trillion kids right now in the United States.
Well, I'm trying to. We have 25,000 kids in K through 12 here in Lachlan County. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many. I think it's like 2.5 million we have in K through 12 in Florida.
Right. How many of those are yours, Gino? Half?
Yikes.
Lost count.
We're probably pregnant just sitting by them.
Depends on if I was using my cell phone at the time.
That's right. Didn't have cell phones. They got a lot of older kids, not so many younger ones. Okay. The deal is that they did this million minutes, and the way they did it was they handed them a book, and they read for 10, 15, 20 minutes. It was like the way they do the fasting, you know, they roll over the fasting. So they hand the book to the next kid. Kid reads for 10, 15 minutes. So they ended up, added it all up as a million minutes. Well, of course, the question is...
That's fine if you're the Borg.
Well, and like, who cares?
Right.
And so they looked at the book. They read for 10 minutes. They looked at the book for 10 minutes, and they count that as your million minutes. When I saw that, I thought, what a joke. Well, here it is in proof. Now, they have... The book that they are talking about here is one called The Giver. And I thought this was prescient in that The Giver, one that deals with a boy's discovery that his utopian world comes at the expense of the stifling of intellectual and emotional freedom. Meaning is critical. And they read this, and most of the kids read it and didn't understand what the hell was the book was all about. Which, to me, the book was about
exactly what they were doing.
Exactly. Hello.
Oh,
and
man.
So they're talking about a combination of politics, it says here, insufficient teacher development, and an inherent difficulty in capturing all aspects of fluency. Fluency is the word here they use for understanding what you're reading. Fluency have led to questionable instruction practice. Oh, well, duh. The way that people understand things is tried and true. It's phonics as far as
like
being
hooked
able
on phonics.
Hooked on phonics, being able to actually read. And then comprehension. There's no shortcut. There's no real shortcut to that. You
get it.
Or you don't. And I can tell you from personal experience.
I don't get it.
Yeah, exactly.
Why didn't it turn into a big bag?
That was the way. Talk about a classic movie, Big. Oh, God. The result said fluency expert. Here's a guy who's actually taken a course in fluency. Tim Rasinski of Kent State University was a message sent to schools to concentrate on speed. And the influence of No Child Left Behind has been such that even schools that aren't reading first schools, capital R, capital F, reading schools, are doing periodic speed reading testing of kids. I remember when, a couple of things. I remember when I first came to the University of Florida that I took a speed reading. It was voluntary. It was no course. You went over and did it on your own, and they had the little thing where they'd flash the sentences in front of you, and it was for your own benefit.
If you thought you weren't... programs.
Huh?
You can buy programs
well,
like
this
that
is
now,
back
yeah.
in the days. This is before computers. Listen to me. Trust me on this.
Okay.
This was like...
days before sand.
Shut up.
A day before dirt.
Yeah, that's right. No, he was talking about this.
The world was made of magma.
That's right. Magma. No, the real threat was being tromped on by a dinosaur, like in that FedEx ad.
Right. You punt little thing.
The deal is, so I learned, I did some speed reading for that, and I had my speed reading up, but the comprehension is something that I remember what it was all about. When I was in the 11th grade, I'll never forget this, I read a book, it was called Portrait of the Artist as a Young Man by James Joyce. But prior to that time, I had read books, and it was like we talk about the Lex Luthor thing, the reading...
The gum wrapper.
We can read War and Peace and see it. It's just a regular old dorpy little story, and other people understand the hidden depth.
Some people can read War and Peace and come away thinking it's a simple adventure story. Others can read the ingredients on a chewing gum wrapper and unlock the secrets of the universe.
Yes! I love that! That is the finest line, one of the finest... That's top 10 lines.
I don't know, man. It's Otisburg is pretty good.
Well, Otisburg is pretty good too. But this is, I'm talking about.
No, go ahead.
But I remember when it came on like a light bulb towards the end of the story. I realized what the author was actually trying to say in this, and I'll never forget. I actually read ahead, and since then I've enjoyed reading. And I read ahead at that particular time, and never forget. Mr. Griswold, he said, "Well, what's this all about?" And I was actually able for the first time. In school, to raise my hand and know you go me, call on me,
like Horseshack in Cotter.
Yeah, exactly. It took me until the 11th grade. Until that time, I was a big kid,
right.
But I'm hiding behind other kids. You know, please, I'm not here. And of course, you always get called on for that. So it tells me again, this is another example of the school system being broken. It is not. This is not rocket science. This is not, or as they say, rocket surgery.
Mm-hmm.
This is not rocket surgery to figure out how to have kids understand, read, and comprehend.
Right.
And a test isn't going to do it. And you can do it all day long. And to have the state step in and do this one size fits all business is just ludicrous. It's a joke. It is, and it's broken. And the system is never going to get any better. And these are the kids that are going to be sitting on the school board. Well, they already are, actually. They were back then. Now they're going to be sitting on the school board. They're going to be sitting in the county commission, and some of them are in Congress today,
mm-hmm.
and not knowing, understanding anything. And you can see the legislation that comes out of Tallahassee, Washington, and even locally here as a result of this kind of stuff. They don't have a clue what's going on. It's going to get worse.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping that when Councilor Curtis gets back, he will have picked out our place in Mexico.
That'd be nice.
That's right. So anyway, and of course, this is the kind of thing, moving on here, mm-hmm. and you saw this article about the principal being suspended. A principal
this is
was suspended
stuff.
For giving a kid a wedgie. This was a high school kid.
Oh.
He was kidding around. Hi, Bob. You know,
right,
this is
right,
in the school. In Livingston,
with a girlfriend in here, how would you like this?
This is in Livingston, Montana, big town.
Right.
Okay.
Now
you got
big
this.
Town. Is it a big town?
I never heard of it.
About to say, I never heard of Livingston, Montana.
I mean, I've never even heard of Montana.
No, I've heard of Montana.
That's a state. That's a state, right?
Yeah. It's, okay. It's like the size of Canada. It's up there by.
Yeah. Well, I know, but they've got like 93 people up there. Sorry.
Right. Yeah. It's sparse.
So anyway. The point is he had a 6-day suspension. I guess the Livingston School Board suspended him, had a special meeting. I don't know how he got suspended, but he apparently, one of his football players, hi, good to see you, Bobby, pulled his shirt up over his head and gave him a wedgie, and then they, Miss Early, he's the principal, cried Monday as he read a statement to the board and to the public. He had to apologize and make nice and the whole deal. I thought, this is so stupid. Some woman in the audience, they have a big audience thing here. The days of school staff person laying hands on a student are long gone. Well, I can tell you, I know this, a very dear friend of mine, girlfriend of mine, she teaches here in Alachua County. And her rewards to students, it's kindergarten, her rewards to students, be able to hug them and touch them, and can't do that anymore.
Oh, no.
No.
And It's terrible. It's terrible. Again, the education has been moved six levels up from the teacher to the principal to the school board to the state and to the federal level, and that's where the rules are coming down.
The big state.
That's right, the big state. And you're wondering why it's only going to get worse before. I'm telling you, mark my words, it's...
They ask me why I drink.
That's right, and that's exactly right. So, no, I'm just looking at our... Excuse me for a second, kids. We're going to edit this out, I suppose.
Kids.
But I, kids, right. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at the I am here from
Jane
Jeff.
Jane and Stitch, little kids out there listening.
Now you wonder, was Stitch known as Stitch in kindergarten or something like that? I wonder. I mean, was he beaten up for that?
I don't know.
We'll have to ask
you
him.
You hung out with him.
I didn't ask him that particular question. I should have asked him. How'd you get your name there? But
yeah.
Okay, this is a question for our resident engineering expert. We're moving on.
Hey.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff.
The next item is the Dell. It says here, Dell is bullish. I thought this was interesting. Dell is bullish about Vista adoption. And this has nothing to do with Madonna going to Zambibia, wherever she went to and adopted a kid. This is something else.
Mm-hmm.
Dell, the computer company, mm-hmm. they're all excited because Vista's coming down the pike. What, first week in January, supposedly, the release date?
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to know this. I'm asking you.
I told you. I don't care. I'm not ever putting Vista on my machine.
Well, now, why? Now, this article says it's the finest thing since sliced bread. The company's chief technology officer. Now, this guy, Kevin Kettler, said on Monday he's bullish about Vista uptake among enterprise customers. Not only your regular user, but the enterprise people. We're talking about these people that compete with SAP and Oracle. And they're going to use this. And Dell executives said those consumers who learn to love Vista at home will then campaign for their IT department to get it at work, too. I mean, they're talking about this huge bump in Microsoft's revenue and Dell and all the PC revenues as people upgrade. The memory chip people and everybody else are going to go nuts when Vista comes out. And why would they go nuts? Because it's not going to work. Okay, no, why?
We have had some technical problem.
I mean,
I think Vista is, well, first of all, again, anybody out there.
Is it an XP upgrade? I mean, what is it?
No,
it's generation.
It's a rewrite, isn't it?
Well, yeah.
But it's also, the
XP is stable.
It is.
Yes.
Relatively speaking.
Relatively speaking.
Okay,
yeah. It's the stablest platform they've ever had. And if you go to any
It's better
blog,
than ME?
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
If anybody out there has ME.
They're not listening to this show.
No, they're not listening to this show. No. You take a M80 out and put it in your laptop and close it. And that's what you do if you got ME. No, I mean, the fact of the matter is that you never upgrade any time that Microsoft has a new product that comes out.
But I mean, they've been beta testing this for they got 5 million beta testers, literally.
I'm telling you. As a ex-computer tutor, you never, ever upgrade to anything that Microsoft brings out until it's about 2 years out of beta, into the public, and...
Has Service Pack 2.
Service Pack 2, that's
not,
right.
Not Service Pack 1.
No,
Service Pack 2.
Well, you buy a computer that has that already installed. You don't actually buy the upgrade and then try to fix your broken-ass machine.
No.
No, you have to buy the thing with the dart in it. I'm telling you, man, I'm sorry. Their track record is a perfect. It's 100% problematic. I mean,
you mean 100% problem.
Right.
Right.
So, in other words, every single time they've ever come out with a new system, it's 100% of the time, after all their beta, can I get a witness? They finally fix it, and then it's fine. But the thing is that if you go onto the forums, the word on the street is that Vista is kind of designed to be more of a Macintosh-y type environment. And
why wouldn't you just buy a Macintosh? You can get the Intel chips now and everything.
Yeah, well, that's fine. If you're not smart enough to own a computer, you can get a Macintosh. That's, you know.
I take umbrage, mind you. Umbrage. My Macintosh takes umbrage. I'm sitting here looking at my love. And Jeff Berkey is coming through at 4:27. He sent me a message, and one is sitting in the Oval Office. I'm not sure what that's about. But anyway. No, but this is, don't, my, slam slander my Mac, I will we'll cancel the show. I mean, I'm telling you, this is a terrible thing to say. I love my Mac. I've been a Macintosh person since the 128K days.
I know.
Eric used to be. I don't know what happened.
It stunted my growth. You know, it's okay. I'm better now. I got over it.
I got over it, right. No, let me ask you this question, though. I mean, we always have known that you never buy software that ends in .0. You know, if you, version 2.0, 3.0, you never do that. You always, Windows is fast. Windows didn't actually, Windows 3 didn't start working until it was Windows 3.11.
Oh, yeah, no. That brings up a great point, too. And we're going to take a little break here for a little bit, and then we're going to come back and finish out the rest of the hour. But there is a superstition about that that is very true. You never buy anything that has .0.
Right.
And to cap that off, we've got a lovely track that the Gino Meister brought in, Stevie Ray Vaughan, Live Superstition. Here you go.
Things here real quick. Environmental update.
Mm-hmm.
Diesel gets clean. This is another case of the market actually figuring some things out that the idiots up there in Washington.
It's like a million% cleaner, isn't it?
Yeah, well, not only that. Diesel, what they've done is apparently it's gone on sale Sunday. It replaced 80% of the old
already
80% of the old diesel formulation across 80% of the stations across the nation. Relatively low silver content, 15 parts per million compared with 500 parts per million in the old fuel.
See, that's a million%.
Well, whatever. Close enough. And anyway, the Schaefer added that the new 2007 diesel trucks will emit just 1/60th, mind you, of the soot exhaust for one produced in 1988. Cleaner fuel is a result of a series of compromises among environmentalists, diesel engine makers, oil refiners, and the U.S. government, which first proposed the rules back in, and they back when Clinton was president, of course, okay, good. And they've attributed as many as 8,300, of course, they have to put this in, as many as 8,300 deaths annually for diesel pollution.
Deaths?
Diesel is the invisible force that moves the American economy, but until now has also been a big polluter. Now, one of the things that I found interesting, I remember when the a couple of years ago, a bunch of Russians came over here on a business exchange program, and essentially they came over here, the girls came over here to get married and green cards, and the guys came over here to try and sell their shit. But it was supposedly an exchange of information. We sent some people, some business people over to Russia, and it was an exchange program. Anyway, I took them around.
That was like a rotary gig, right?
It was a rotary gig, that's right. And the Russians that came over here spoke zero English.
I mean, oh, really?
Oh, total. I mean,
but you speak fluent Russian, so it didn't matter.
Yeah. I mean, da. Da svidaniya, and so forth. Yes, of course, my Russian being fluent.
Right.
I took them around, just for last, as you know, I'm a garage sale.
The ladies, right?
No, I took the guys around. Okay. And I took the guys around.
You lost the coin toss there, huh?
No. I wanted to do it. I wanted to show them what a true market system was like.
Right.
And the ultimate in market systems is a garage sale. So I took
them
around.
That's
true. I took them around Saturday.
Garage sale. Oh, my God.
I took them around in my car.
No,
I did. I took them around to garage sales one Saturday morning. And it was interesting to see the education that they got immediately on two areas, and believe it or not, I'm going to come back to this diesel thing in about 2 seconds.
They got an education, all right.
They got it. Well, anyway, so the deal is that I took around the garage sales, and the stuff that they wanted to take back to Russia was stuff that was absolute junk.
Used toilet paper?
Oh, my God. It was incredible. It was incredible, the stuff that they wanted to buy. So I took them to the first garage sale, and they wanted to bid like 14 kopecks or something for something. And I said, no, you don't understand the way it works here. I said, you make them an offer. You make them an offer of what they want. So there was like a bumper. It was like a bumper from a 48 Plymouth. And the guy wanted like $2 for it, and he says, I give you $2. I said, no. I said, you what you have to do is to bargain with him on this. And so he says, I give you 11 cents.
It's a quick learner.
I said, no, you don't understand. I said, you what you do is, our money here is like dimes, nickels, and quarters. So when you make him an offer, you don't, it's not like you offer him 16 and a half cents.
I cut Betty in half.
That's right. That's right. So anyway, but I mean, they bid on stuff that at garage sales, yes, it is one person's trash, it's another person's treasure, and so forth. But this was real trash. This is stuff that had been dragged out.
Hey,
to
dumb
the
it. Why'd you bring that over here?
Yeah. No, this was stuff that had been dragged out to the curb.
Put it back in the truck, dummy.
This was stuff that had been dragged out to the curb.
I guess I'm with you.
Do you mind?
Sorry, go ahead.
Okay. There's some apocryphal stories here. Well, they're not apocryphal. These are cogent. Mm-hmm. So the deal is that we were driving to a garage sale, and here's the garage sale in the driveway, in the garage, and then there's some stuff out by the curb that they were throwing away. Well, and of course, the Russians were interested in the stuff that was out by the curb, because this was like new stuff. And they said, what do you want for this, you know? And I said, well, you take that. Well, America, what a country, you know? So they learned this. But as we're riding
on my feet as I dig in this big can.
So the deal was, as we're riding around, they thought we happened to ride down this road and we're riding in back of a bus.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, your buses are electric buses here. Mm-hmm. I said, no, it's a diesel, but where's smoke?
Mm-hmm.
I said, they're fairly clean. I said, that's part of the deal. They were blown away. As far as they were concerned, you could sniff, you could eat that. So you could put your mouth on the diesel pipe of our buses.
Right, and live.
And live, right. And whereas they had never seen a bus that did not emit giant black clouds of smoke.
Right, like Iraqi oil field.
Exactly,
right.
Like burning Iraqi oil field. That's right. And here we are. Here we are. They're
going to
get cleaner.
We're
going to
get cleaner.
So it's 1/60th the amount. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that it's going to be, it's a good thing, and it's not totally government. This is actually one of the few times that I see cooperative investment or whatever you want to call it. And it's all going to work out. So I thought that was
an MIT invention.
No, that's the next item.
Okay.
The next item, I thought, this is fascinating. MIT engine boost got mileage by 30%. Now,
boost
this
what?
Is mileage.
Uh-huh.
By 30%. If all of today's engines had the technology MIT estimates, it would cut U.S. auto fuel consumption from 140 billion gallons to 110 billion gallons annually. Of course, that's not true at all.
Because people would drive more.
Exactly.
Right.
That is precisely correct. That is the one thing that happened. If gas were, the question you have to ask yourself, if gas were, if cars got 200 miles to the gallon tomorrow, mm-hmm. would there be less gas being imported into the United States? And the answer is no. Everybody would just drive more.
No, you'd burn up anthills with it.
Exactly.
Or find some other use for it.
Exactly. But the little problem with this, of course, is that the engine, in order to work, it has to have two gas tanks.
Why is that?
Apparently, one's for the ethanol and one's for the gas, and the way it mixes it, it turns out that that's what gives you your extra 30%.
But we put no gasoline in an ethanol tank.
Well, I don't know exactly how it works. It doesn't really matter. It's a new engine. The nice thing I did like about this particular engine, it's about half the size of a normal engine.
That's how it gets twice the mileage.
Well, that's true, too. You'd be surprised. When you go from 100 horsepower to 50, you'd be surprised what it does to your mileage. That's right. But the other little minor problem, of course, is that the gas and ethanol, you have twice as much room for tanks now, unfortunately. So mm-hmm. where's the savings? I don't know. Engines weigh more than tanks, I guess. But anyway, the point is that this is a market. This is something that...
Let them go with it.
Let them go with it. Again, let the market figure it.
Right.
Let them figure it. Time and time again, the market is smarter. It is way smarter, since the market is a superset of everybody here.
Mm-hmm.
It's just way more intelligent, and it will figure it out. And every time you monkey with it, you end up with unintended consequences. One of the reasons that we have so many SUVs today mm-hmm. is it turns out that SUVs, this is what they call light trucks, were exempt from the original CAFE standards, the CAFE, with the cars, automobiles, fuel efficiency, or whatever it is, whatever CAFE stands for. And it turned out light trucks were exempt. So what do? Immediately they start making cars on
the
light
trucks. Hummers were involved.
Well, not exactly Hummers, but the fact is they were all put on light truck. The SUVs were put on light truck frames.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were exempt, which is why that happened. Okay, done. Speaking of the market.
Mm-hmm.
The post office, it says here, the post office is going to stamp out vending machines and drop boxes.
Now, actually, you know, this is one of those, I don't get it. We have vending machines at our work, and they're managed by some company, and they come in and they empty out all the quarters that we put in there, and they put food back in the machines, and then they leave.
Okay, this is what they're saying, is that the post office and vending machines...
Why doesn't the post office use the same company that we do, and they don't have to worry about it?
I have no idea.
It says their machines are 20 years old, ours are brand new. Although, I will tell you this much, it's a little like Vegas with our machines. You may put money in. That doesn't mean you're going to get something back out.
Yeah.
And what you press may not be what comes out.
Well, it turns out there's a couple of things that are involved in this. I didn't realize this, but they've got they plan to eliminate 23,000 vending machines by 2010. One of the problems that they've got is that the United States government keeps changing the money around.
Right.
So when they put in dollar bills anymore, this mm-hmm. costs you put in a $5 or $10 or $20 bill, it might look different tomorrow from what it did today, and you have to.
That won't matter once you get your chip implant with the GPS.
Well, the thing I look at this is the Postal Service is also removing many of the freestanding blue boxes where people can mail letters.
And or I'm cherry reminded, bombs.
Exactly. Of course, in the old days, I remember when I was growing up, they were green.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because they had all that paint left over from World War II.
Right.
And so they had them all for that for many years. Anyway, at the end of the last year, the Postal Service had 295,052 collection points. Exact 295,052. Not 53, not 51, but 200. Mm-hmm. Down from 337,230 at the end of 1999. Well, it turns out that at that rate, it's going to take about 50 years to get rid of all. And the question you have to ask yourself is, what is postal delivery? What is delivery of any kind of information going to look like in 50 years? Hell, what's going to look like in 5 years?
Right.
And this is one of the reasons I've always said the market rules. The market rules. One of the things that even the post office has had to put up with is the competition from FedEx and UPS, in spite of the fact that they have a monopoly in two areas. One is first-class mail,
mm-hmm.
and two is those mailboxes that are out mm-hmm. front here. I mean, if you try and slip something in there, the SWAT team shows up.
Mm-hmm.
If you walk around your neighborhood and put a little flyer in there that says "meeting tonight,"
mm-hmm. With a bomb on it.
Well, boy, I'll tell you, no,
SWAT team, amazing how fast they show up.
No, it's just they're on alert. They're on red alert. They have there's a little sensor in the mailbox
mm-hmm.
that dials 911 SWAT team.
Right.
If you put something in there that doesn't have a stamp.
Direct.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm done with that.
Okay.
So the post office is going to go out of business. Mark my words. Mm-hmm. This time, it's not the economy. Vote with your pocketbook. Let's see. This is... Oh, this has to do with the election.
Oh, this is a great story.
This is a great story, and it's quite... I've cut it down some, and it's one of the last ones here. But I think that it's fascinating to find out this election coming up. Now, one of the things I remember from the 92 election, Bill Clinton got elected... Got elected, basically... On It's the Economy, Stupid.
It's the Economy, Stupid.
It was absolutely worst economy since Hoover, worst economy in 50 years. And, of course, it was. What happened was we came out of a recession. We were coming out of a recession that was spawned by Bush's going back on his original
promise. No new taxes.
No new taxes. Right. And then he passed this huge tax thing, and the economy tanked.
Right.
And, of course, the 1989 was when the wall came down. There was a lot of flux in that particular time. Right. And we went through a recession from 90 through 92, and Bill Clinton got elected as we were screaming out of that particular recession. And it wasn't the worst economy in 50 years, but he got elected.
Like a beach boy.
Well, exactly. He did. This year, here we are, the stock market, as we speak, yesterday, or not yesterday, the day before, hit new high ever.
Right.
Unemployment, at least in this county, is 2.3%. Nationwide is 4.7%, which historically, I remember when I was in the 60s and 70s, they said we had if anything under 5% was full employment, because you always have friction as people are moving around. The economy is doing fantastic, and yet there are people out there saying, no, it sucks, and I want to get elected.
Terrible.
Especially in Michigan, of course, they said... And there have been two books recently written, one by Lou Dobbs, who is... I've started reading his book, and it's called How the Middle Class is Getting Crushed. There's another one called Screwed, and I forget what the guy's name is that wrote that. These two books have come out recently, and these guys are making millions of dollars based on the fact that the middle class supposedly is being screwed. And people are running against the economy, and especially, typically, the Republicans should be tearing this thing up, because it was the Bush tax cuts, the... revenues to the United States government, as happened under Reagan, the revenues have skyrocketed. The problem is spending has gone out of control,
right,
along with the revenues. And spending, of course, is controlled by Congress. Right. Now, President vetoed, I suppose. But the simple fact is all revenue bills must originate in the House of Representatives. So the spending, yes, has gone out of control. But the deficit, believe it or not, because the revenues are even increasing faster, the deficit is going down. And one of this lady comes in here and she says... she says she's all worried. Here we go. This lady was interviewed, and she says, I don't see the Democrats as tax and spend liberals, she said. She has more doubts about the government's economic track record. And quote, even though the deficit has come down, we still have a horrible deficit, Ms. Kennedy said. This is no relation to Ted. And, of course, I'm asking myself, why does she care? She doesn't know anything about it. The deficit. I'm asking myself, why would you care? Man on the street, do you care about the deficit? Well, yeah, I mean, they tell me on Fox, they tell me on CNN, tell me that the deficit's really bullshit. It doesn't matter a nick to you. You don't understand what it's all about. Don't get me wrong, it does matter. There is to be some importance attached to it. But when you go into the grocery store, do you say, geez, I don't know about buying this box of Cheerios or this box of Wheaties because the deficit, you know, makes you make a change on it. B.S., it doesn't matter. And I'm thinking the only reason that Mrs. Kennedy here even mentioned the word deficit is because she heard it on the news. And she wants to sound intelligent. She's an idiot.
If there's an idiot competition, she'd come in second.
So she'd
come in
second. Would come
or
in.
First.
She'd be
whatever's funnier.
She'd be in the running. But the price of gas has come down like 30-40%. Unemployment has fallen to its lowest level in 5 years. Dow Jones, new historical high. And yet... They can't, what does it say, they can't get a win on this. Republicans can't get a win on this. I mean...
No, they can't see past Iraq right now.
Well, that's a lot of it. But in the Great Lakes, up in Ohio and Michigan area, where, of course, a lot of the automobile people, so the unemployment rate up there is like 7%, which is still historically low. I mean, during the Great Depression, it was 25%, for God's sakes. And they're still screaming and hollering and getting elected on the fact that these people are losing their ass. And, of course, it's just not true. The next thing, of course, they're talking about is health insurance. And again, we've talked about this. It's not health insurance. It's health care. You can have all the insurance in the world, but if there's no doctors, you've got no health care.
Right.
So you can walk in with your ticket that says
platinum member.
Well, it can say good for one transplant. Mm-hmm. And they say, but we got nothing here. We got nothing for you. Sorry. Yeah, it might be good for one, but we're out of them. It's like mileage on the airplanes. You know, when you call up and you say, I've got 17,000 miles, I want to upgrade to first class. They've got no seats left.
Mm-hmm.
So tough shit. Anyway, so these people are planning to vote. Democratic again, mainly because of the economy. And I'm thinking, I'm just blown away. The median income area in this Mizzou-Callahan district in Pennsylvania 7th District, an island of relative affluence. The median income in the area, according to the Census Bureau, topped $63,000. That is to say, half the people made more than $63,000 and half made less than that. More than a third higher than the national median, according to the economy comms analysis and so forth. Unemployment in the district averaged 3.8%, well below the national. And they're gonna vote because it's life sucks.
Mm-hmm.
There's just no pleasing some people.
No, there's not.
And of course, I'm all for it. As far as I'm concerned, vote the communists in.
Absolutely.
Let's get it over with. I've got anything you got for light notes? We're coming towards the end here.
We got about 4 minutes left, 3 minutes, 3.5 minutes.
Well, you got something you want to talk about? Because I'm about done.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I just got a couple.
I was going to talk about Iran, of course, blowing the world up, but we don't care.
They restored an ancient brothel in Pompeii.
Oh, is it working?
Unfortunately, they didn't restore it that much. Yeah.
Come on, that's not... Look, if you're going to restore it, give me a break. Have you ever been to Pompeii? I've been to Pompeii.
No.
If you pay the guide like a couple of lira on the side, they take you to the places where you're not supposed to go. They were some serious... You think this country got some weird
places
fetish people? Oh, no. Ew. No. There's a reason that God exploded Vesuvius. That was the hand of God. That was Sodom and Gomorrah. I am telling you right now, that is why it was buried. God said, no. Hurricane, not good enough. I'm sorry. A million tons of volcanic ash is what it's going to take.
That's good.
No, but I mean, when you go through there, and of course, what God said was, "I'm going to put all this volcanic ash on it, but I'm going to kill everybody."
Mm-hmm.
And but when they dig it up again, they're going to see what God can do.
Right?
And did you see?
This will be a lesson to you.
This is ape.
Can we do it again? Can I just close one eye? You know, remember that joke about the guy who says you'll go blind if you look at this something or another. You know, if you look on this horrible thing, God will strike you blind.
Right.
And well, can I just look with one eye?
Exactly. You see that some idiot threw a keg in a fire and it exploded and killed somebody.
Whoa! Yeah. A keg of beer.
Yeah.
With the beer.
No, I don't think it. I think it probably was empty.
Should have used a lava lamp. they explode a lot more fun. Yeah.
Did you see Rush Limbaugh harping on our Marty McFly?
I sure did.
I heard it.
And they apparently it's an ongoing battle. Apparently Marty came back.
Right. Yep.
And
said he was on his meds.
Said he was on his meds after all. And Rush apologized.
Right.
He did.
Yeah, he did. He totally apologized. He said, "I apologize 100%. He says, "I understand that it was that was not an act. I understand that he was speaking from the heart and so forth and so on." But again, the big mythology here is that stem cell research, number one, is illegal.
Right.
It's not.
Right,
you can do it all day long.
Right.
You can just do it privately. And it turns out that the private companies are sitting there saying, look, we're getting so much mileage out of adult stem cells, we don't need these.
Right.
And the disease list of cures from adult stem cells is pages long. And the disease that are even hinted at possibly being cured from babies, umbilical stem cells is zero.
Right. Right. So. Well, the whole thing with that was there was a cloning issue tied to that bill, and that's the reason Rush had the problem in the beginning was because he said that he was just misrepresenting what the bill actually was.
Right.
That was what the problem was.
We're out of here, John.
Yeah. This ape was scolded for pulling a fire alarm, and they told him not to monkey around with that thing.
The headline writer should be shot.
All right. Well, thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. Yeah.
Thanks to you again. And then write us at jimmy@jimmydone.com.
jimmy@jimmydone.com.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Oh, and if you go to jimmydone.com, of course, we have the blog up there, which I write occasionally for that. And the donation button.
And the donation.
Donation.
We'll
and some websites.
We'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Out.
We appreciate your listening to The Jimmy Dome Show. Support The Jimmy Dome Show by making a donation. Spread the word by making CDs for your friends of The Jimmy Dome Show. I'm gonna do something to you now.